Night Ranger is currently in the midst of their very first European tour. They'll begin an American tour on the 27th of June, starting out in Petaluma, California.
You're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with Stephen Michael and Sonny Hollywood Pooney. Now, crank it up.
Okay, Hollywood, it's the end of March, which brings us to our third Night Ranger studio album. This time we're hitting up Seven Wishes. Sonny, I got a question for you. You know, if you had seven wishes, what would you do with them?
Nicole Scherzinger, Linda Carter, Jessica Alba. Should I keep going?
Let's just start with three wishes. How about that? So like all episodes, you know, we got to invite a special guest. This month returning to the show is our old friend, Righty, from the Potter and Hell podcast. Righty, what's going on? What are your seven wishes, my friend?
Christina Hendrickson, Jennifer Garner, and I'll say world peace. How's that? the typical Miss America answer. What do you want? World peace.
And right now, as we speak, divorce papers are being filed by Mrs. Pooney and Mrs. Righty.
Mrs. Pooney knows, so it's not an issue.
Mrs. Wright knows as well.
All right. Well, fellas, what's going on? Righty, what's happening with you, man? You got a new look to you? What?
I'm good. I'm fresh. I'm retired now from the fire department after almost 31 years, and I'm feeling good. I'm getting ready to go on Monsters Rock Cruise and see you two knuckleheads and all the rest of our gang that we have on the ship, and just hanging out waiting for that.
Yeah, quit giving away the secrets that at this point it's the end of March, so we're already back from the Monsters
Rock. We're back.
Did we have a good time?
We had an awesome time. Although the next one after this show will be just me and Sonny, because Steven will probably have been thrown overboard on the cruise.
Yeah.
Come on now. So how are things over there at Potter and Hell?
Things are good. We're trucking along and we're trying to get our schedules straightened out with stuff with, you know, how things were going at the firehouse and stuff. So now we just have to worry about BC's schedule, and we're doing good. We have an episode with Steven coming up, Sonny coming up soon too, and our usual cast of characters.
There you go. Potter and Hell podcast. Anybody that listens to this podcast should be listening to the Potter and Hell podcast. And if you're new to this podcast and this is your first listen, then go check them out, the Potter and Hell podcast. They like to talk rock and metal just like us. All right. So on to Seven Wishes from Night Ranger. As I said before, this is the third studio album by Night Ranger. This is coming off the heels of the success of the Midnight Madness record, which went platinum for them. They had the huge hit Sister Christian, and now they're moving on to another studio record. What is your history with this record in particular, Righty?
I had been a fan of Night Ranger since Dawn Patrol came out. Been with Brad Gillis since when he was with Ozzy, and knew that he left Ozzy to, you know, pursue Night Ranger. And this was just another one that I was waiting for to come out after Midnight Madness came out.
Yeah, I think yours and my experience as Night Ranger fans is very similar. We both were there from the beginning and came in. And so just like you, I picked up this record when it came out, just excited to hear it. Sonny, what about you? This is we talked about your history a little earlier where you started with sort of that Big Life era and went backwards. Did you get this one early on, or you waited a while on this one?
Yeah, I probably don't get this until the late 80s. My recollection is I probably got Midnight Madness first. So I got Big Life, obviously, and then got Midnight Madness first. I'd already seen them after I got Big Life. I'd already seen them live probably three or four times because they were going out with Tesla. Then they did something with David Lee Roth. And then they were either opening or headline for everybody in the Bay Area. It seemed like they're playing all the time. Right. So, yeah, I'm getting this probably late 80s, most likely.
Yeah. Steve, you've seen Night Ranger numerous times like the rest of us, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen them probably 10 to 15 times easily.
Yeah.
I saw them in Mork. They were on that first Mork cruise I went on. They were the headliner, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they'd come back on Mork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always a good time. Always great live. Just one of the few bands that's been around long enough and is out there still doing it. Great. So always enjoy seeing a Night Ranger show for sure.
Please make sure you hit that follow button to subscribe to Growing Up Rock Podcast so you don't miss an episode.
All right, moving on to the basic facts about Seven Wishes. So the album was released May 21st of 1985. It was recorded there in Hollywood, California, and also San Rafael, which I think that's closer to the Bay Area, isn't it, Sonny?
That is correct.
Length of the record is 42 minutes. The label is MCA, and the producer is once again Pat Glasser, who was the producer on the first two records, The Dawn Patrol and Midnight Madness as well. So they're sticking with him because they're having success. So he's on for the third record, and I think this is going to be his last record with them, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll get into that with future records. Singles from Seven Wishes. Sentimental Street was released in 1985, May of 1985. So technically, this was the first single, which to me, that's a really strange first single to release. But you're trying to capitalize on the success you had with Sister Christian. What do you guys think of that first single, Steve?
It is a little odd. You know, I think they would have been a little better off going with like maybe Four in the Morning. It's more up-tempo, and just to come out with a straight-up ballad, because, I mean, at least with Sister Christian, you have the, you know, when it gets going, but you really don't have that in Sentimental Street. You know what I mean? I think that would have been a better one to release, like maybe second or third, and I think Four in the Morning would have been a perfect one for them to come right back after Midnight Madness album.
I have to think that this is probably being pushed by the record label, because we know record labels are notorious for being stupid and trying to capitalize on success of ballads. Sonny, what are your thoughts on Sentimental Street?
I don't think there's a problem with it, because I think if they do Four in the Morning first, they could lose some people. And there was a lot of rocking first singles coming out in 1985. So you're a little bit different than everybody else. And because of what they ended up doing, they had like four singles in a row that were top 20. You maybe don't get that if you do Four in the Morning first. So in the end, it ends up working.
Yeah, okay. I see your point. I tend to lean with Righty, though. I believe that it was a really odd first single to release. I think they would have been better off going with Four in the Morning, but it doesn't really matter because they ended up getting there. And Sentimental Street, honestly, wasn't a huge hit. So it really didn't work out for them that much in the end.
Really? It was a huge hit.
No, that song was not a huge hit.
Number 8, Billboard Hot 100. Number 8.
Whatever.
I'm dead serious.
I believe you. You're probably looking at the charts, but
yeah,
I just don't. How long did it stay there?
Doesn't matter. It got to number 8. How many songs you know in rock got to number 8 anyway?
It got to number 8 probably on the success of Sister Christian.
And that's bad.
Anyway, next up was Four in the Morning, which they ended up releasing in August of 85. And here's why I say that Sentimental Street wasn't that huge of a hit, is because it was released in May of 85, and they already went back to a second single in August of 85. So that it wasn't, I mean, what, just over the summer? I don't think it did that well for long. Maybe it did peak at number 8, but that's my thoughts on that. Four in the Morning, second single, released in 85. Four in the Morning, was that not as big a hit?
Nope. Top 20.
It's interesting because I think most people you would ask would know that song before they would know Sentimental Street.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
So then they go back to another ballad, and really, to me, a real true ballad, more so than even Sentimental Street, for the third and final release off this record, which is Goodbye, which was released in October of 85. So pretty much the same timing, isn't it? August of 85 and then September and October of 85. Yeah, a little quicker. So yeah, it makes sense that that wasn't as big of a hit as Sentimental Street, doesn't it?
Yeah, and my guess is exactly what you said, is they're trying to capitalize on Sister Christian. The way you do that is you put another kind of ballady hit out there. And if it hits, it's going to hit big and it's going to sell the album right out of the gate. And then you put the rocker out right afterwards. Not a problem.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. Peak position for the album was number 10 on the Billboard Top 200. As I said earlier, it did go platinum. Let's talk about the artwork. So for me, this artwork is the best of the first three records, in my opinion. I like this the best. I think it's kind of cool. Sonny, what are your thoughts on this album cover?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So I love the Green Bomber. I'm not sure what it has to do with Seven Wishes, but that's fine. I thought it should have been like an I Dream a Genie type cover or something. The logo looks great. The Seven Wishes logo looks great. And then when you look at the guys inside, Jack is in charge of the machine gun. Brad, it looks like he's pointing out who to shoot at. Jeff is just sitting there like an officer would. Kelly's flying the plane, and Fitz looked like he won some contests on, you know, taking flying lessons or something. Right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting setup, but I don't know what it has to do with Seven Wishes, but I do like the cover.
Do you have the back of the record? What's that look like? Because I don't have that.
So the back of the record, it's Jeff, Jack, and Kelly.
I remember that.
Look like officers. Mm-hmm. Brad looks like he's headed for the insane asylum with that fucking hat he's wearing. Straight up Eddie from Christmas Vacation. And then Fitz looks like he's a tourist they ran into. Yeah. Like, that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. Roddy, what are your thoughts on this album cover?
I like it. It's pretty cool. I was always enjoying and like World War II stuff. And I believe that's a B-25 bomber from World War II. I always had an interest in that. I had an uncle that was a general in the Air Force. So I was always around like kind of aviation stuff growing up. And I think it's cool. And I do agree with you, Stephen. I do like it the best of the first three covers. Mm-hmm. The first one's cool, but the second one is just, they're just like standing like in the neighborhood or whatever. But I like this one because actually on the cover, you could see like the searchlights too behind the plane when they're flying through, you know, like hostile territory or something like that. And I like it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, one thing we did say is, because you mentioned with Midnight Madness, they're just kind of standing around. I think when we dug into that record cover, as we discussed in the last episode, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that you can't really see. You have to look for. It's like a Derek Riggs album cover, right? It's got all this shit going on in the background that you have to pinpoint. So first of all, you need a good size album cover to see this stuff. But if you see
it's tough to see on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. The lost art of the album cover. But if you get that, you can see a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, back to the Seven Wishes. So I saw an interview with the band not too long ago on YouTube that was a period piece interview done at the time of this album release. And the band mentioned that this was kind of meant to be a concept album almost. Now, very loosely based, but the videos, the album cover, and the songs on the record were sort of a loose concept. Had you guys ever heard that? Because I had not before I heard that interview.
I've never heard that.
It came straight from the band. I wish I could remember exactly who said it, but the band was there. I want to say it was Jack and Kelly that were doing most of the talking, but definitely go look that up on YouTube because they were definitely discussing that. And I don't think it was a joke. I think it was, if you think about the videos had they were playing off that whole bomber thing, you know?
Yeah, but the songs aren't. Yeah, so I don't know.
Again, I said it was sort of loosely, right? They didn't sell the farm and say this is a concept record. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
But they said that was sort of the overall idea at one point in time or not.
I'll tell you, it would have been an interesting idea to open it with Seven Wishes like it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next six songs the next seven songs are their wishes.
That is cool.
That would have been kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Shit, I wish you wouldn't have said that on there. That's a good idea.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Hanover Street?
No. Yeah, with Harrison Ford. Yeah.
There's the movie poster for that with that same airplane on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have a song, Sentimental Street, on there. So I wonder if it's something like that. Because that movie came, I just looked it up, it came out in 1975. And I don't know, maybe it's just coincidence. But, I mean, it's the same plane on the front and
You guys look that up on YouTube, but it's out there. Just usually when I look for stuff like that, I probably Google 1985 Night Ranger interviews or something like that, or Seven Wishes interviews, and it came up, and that's what they were talking about. So I was like, okay, that's interesting, because I've never heard that.
Night Ranger. About a year ago, when Night Ranger sat down to write and record the album Seven Wishes, they had no idea what they would end up with would be a concept album.
Everything evolved while we were doing the music of the album, and the songs came about. The tune Seven Wishes created, it kind of elicited this response out of us, and then all of a sudden we came up with the idea for the album cover. Then we came up with the concept of being transformed back to another period in time, and then trying to get back to that period, you know, back to your current period of time, and going through all these changes. And since we love the tune Seven Wishes, we decided to name the album Seven Wishes. We thought it'd be a great way to incorporate everything together.
Okay, so before we get to the tracks, Stephen had mentioned that the album topped out at number 10. So that was on August 17th, 1985. Here's the nine albums it couldn't beat. Number 9, Around the World in a Day, Prince of the Revolution, which was a number 1 album at one point. The Power Station, the debut record, was number 8. Brothers in Arms, Dire Straits, which we know that was a huge album. Theater of Pain, Motley Crue, was number 6. Born in the USA, Springsteen, that's going to be tough. The Dream of Blue Turtle, Sting, due to Sting after the Police. No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, you ain't going to beat that. Songs from the Big Chair, Tears for Fears, which was a huge album. And Reckless by Bryan Adams. It's like the 80s is absolutely filled with huge albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's some tough competition there.
Yeah, that's some tough competition. All right, so we're at the tracks, and the first track we got is Seven Wishes. And righty, to me, the verses, the chugging of the guitar, the drum pattern, it's a little darker. And that's a little risky to go from Sister Christian to the first song you hear on this album. It's kind of like a darker Night Ranger. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, you know, and you look at the first two albums you have, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and You Can Still Rock in America opening up. And this is not either one of those,
yeah.
You know, because you can kind of put those songs kind of in the same kind of thing. But I like how this starts, though, because it's so different. Like those disjointed drums coming in and the chugging and stuff. And, you know, in those keyboard swells, that does give it that like a darker feel to it. And the production is fantastic on it right off the bat. I like this song. I think it's a really good album opener because it's so different from the other two. But one thing you do get on this that you get on the other ones as well is the soloing is just absolutely fantastic on this one. And it's intense for an opening song, but I like it. I like right where it is on the album. I really can't see this in any other spot.
Yeah, and Stephen, for me, even though it started out edgy, when you get to the pre-chorus and chorus, it's catchy as hell, written for radio, right? So they have a way to kind of bring it back pretty quickly.
Everything about this song and some of the latest Night Ranger singles from this record and Midnight Madness, I should hate this band. I should absolutely hate this band. It's not in my bang zone at all. But for whatever reason it is, they get a pass from me. And I can't even figure it out to this day, because if it was some other band doing this stuff, I'd be like, ah, yeah, that's not for me. So with Seven Wishes, first of all, did either of you guys see this tour? Sonny, you didn't, because this is before your time. You did see it, right?
Yes.
Great tour, right? They come out of the genie bottle on the platform.
They have the genie bottle up on the top, yep.
I watched this this tour recently on YouTube. They have Live in Japan, which is this tour, and it's really good. Like, the song set list is really good. They open up with Seven Wishes. And it's just, for me, it's a weird way to start off the record. The drum loop thing that they play at the beginning is really cool. I really dug that. That sucked me in. But it's sort of a slower tune. One of the first things that I noticed right off the bat is, where the hell are my guitars? They're sort of there, but they certainly aren't there, as we said, out in front like Rockin' America or Don't Tell Me You Love Me. But the melody is really good. And here's something they did amazing and did it really quick. They got to the pre-chorus super quick in that song. And the pre-chorus is great. And so they don't waste any time getting to that pre-chorus. The guitars are gone. I do like it, but it's an odd kickoff to a record for me, from Night Ranger anyway.
So then the next song we get is Faces. And, you know, I've said there's the rocker side of Night Ranger, there's the pop side of Night Ranger, there's the ballad side of Night Ranger, and then there's the movie soundtrack side of Night Ranger. And Righty, to me, this is movie soundtrack, dude. The chorus is like straight out of Karate Kid. Like, you could have sold this thing. It almost feels like they were on purpose trying to write movie soundtrack songs. It's okay. I don't mind the song. It's just, it's very soundtracky.
It is. It is. I like it, though. You know, it's, I don't even know how to describe it, because you get the Kelly right off the bat, Faces, you get that, and you get that echo and everything in there. And I think that the keyboards and this one as well are just so out front. And I get what Steven's saying too about the guitars, you know, not being in the forefront like you're used to with these guys. And I like that they took the chance on this album, because I think they're pretty ensconced in what they're doing between Midnight Madness and Dawn Patrol. But, like, I think they took some chances on this album, and I really liked it, too. And listen to the outro solo from Jeff Watson, man. It just absolutely rips. So you get, even though you don't get the right down the middle of the road Night Ranger song in the beginning, you get that payoff at the end.
Steven, I'm listening to this the other day, and I'm like, man, these first two songs got a lot of synth in them. Steven's going to be sorry he picked Night Ranger to do this year.
I'll tell you, it's just what I was saying. I'm like, okay, the kickoff of the record, it's mostly keyboards. And then we move to Faces. And you notice that Faces, it's the number two song on this record. And it starts off a lot like Sing Me Away with that keyboard swell. It's very reminiscent of Sing Me Away. But Kelly's vocals are amazing on this song. Like his vocals are really good on this tune. Just super keyboard heavy. Again, I'll say it. Great melody. Pre-chorus is good. The chorus is good. I absolutely love the solo in this song, as Wrighty mentioned. I should hate this tune, but I don't hate it. Same with Seven Wishes. I don't hate either one of these songs. I actually like them, but I am starting to wonder, like, are they still a rock band at this point? Because we're two songs into a fresh record, and it's 90% keyboards and 10% guitars.
Like what you're hearing? Share this episode out. Post it to your favorite social network and let people know you're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast. It will help us grow, and we greatly appreciate it.
What we're doing is we're filming a series of videos, and all these videos are going to actually be able to be fit together. So from beginning to end, you'll be able to understand a full concept of the album cover, Seven Wishes, the whole thing of the band being transformed back to a period of 1943 with the bomber and finding an Aladdin's lamp and the whole thing. We're having a great time doing it, too.
Well, the Aladdin's lamp is at it again, and this time the video's got kind of a space-age twist to it. Debuting at number 20, 4 in the Morning from Night Ranger.
So then we get to the third track, 4 in the Morning, and Wrighty, what happens? I am by no means a songwriter. I am a creative problem solver. So what will happen to me is I'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go, oh my God, and I'll start writing stuff down that I got to somehow decipher in the morning to tell my people to go do it, because whatever we did yesterday, I just figured out what the linchpin of the fix is, right? And to hear other creative people get up at 4 in the morning and go, I can't take it anymore, can't fake it anymore, it's such a hard time loving you, and that ends up being a song that Jack writes because he wakes up at 4 in the morning, that's what he's thinking. It just kind of shows that creative guys sometimes they just can't shut it off.
So does this mean you're going to have a song out called 3 in the Morning?
No.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll take the piece of paper and I'll take it to one of my guys and go, dude, I don't know what I wrote, but I need you to go do this.
Life with Poonie as your boss. Wonderful. Yeah. You know, I like this song too. And I'm on board with what Steven's saying. Like, for the stuff I like and everything like that, I shouldn't like a lot of this shit, but 4 in the Morning is great. It's still to this day a live staple with these guys. The chorus is just so like in the pocket, the background vocals, they've never had any worries, or someone said, oh, like that chorus sounds like crap, or, you know, the vocals suck. It's fantastic. And again, you get the guitar payoff and on the back end with the solo on this one. And one thing that I really like about Night Ranger too, is even to this day, the lead guitar players are so distinct in their sound. You know, like you may not get, you know, Jeff Watson being so distinct, or, you know, like Joel Holster that's on later stuff, and then Carrie Kelly now, but Brad is so unique that you can instantly tell who's playing what on these solos, and that's one major thing that I like about Night Ranger as well.
I must have been
And Stephen, for this song, like, to me, the pre-chorus is written well. The chorus is unforgettable. The bridge is perfect. The guitar solo fits it perfect. This is a really well-written pop song for radio. I mean, Blades really wrote this well.
100%. Straight up, that's my notes. Pop tune. Pre-chorus and chorus are awesome. And I guess that's what I love in Night Ranger. I was saying I couldn't figure out why I love this stuff when I should hate it. There's no guitars. And the third song on the record continues that trend of no guitars. But, I mean, it's just a well-written song. You know, it's rare in this type of songwriting where, you know, the name of the song really isn't the course. You know, the course is something else. You know, they say the name of the song once, I think, at the beginning. That's pretty much it, right? The rest of it, it's not in there. So it's just a different way of songwriting, and other songwriters have done it in the past. And yeah, it's just a great tune.
I Need a Woman is next. And righty, you get that bass guitar start, and then the guitar joins in and the synth joins in. It's pretty cool groove at the beginning there.
Yeah, and rare, too, that you can actually hear Jack's bass. You know, it's not prominent really in hardly anything. It's mostly guitars, keyboards, drums. But it is cool to hear that at the beginning. I like the drum production on this because I think the drums sound great. Even like from the first bangs on the drums in Seven Wishes, and the drums are great in this one. Brad does his insane whammy bar shit on this song and for the solo. And it just, you know, gets up there in intensity. And then the song at the end, it just kind of sneaks out at the end. And I think that's pretty cool, too. It builds up through a crescendo, and then it kind of just kind of slinks out of the room at the end.
Stephen, my thing with this song, though, is I didn't love the chorus. I actually like the bridge better than the chorus. And again, this was a little movie soundtrack. I'm not saying movie soundtrack is bad. I'm just saying that's what it kind of sounds like to me.
No, I don't get that from this one. The chugging parts, for me, the chugging parts could have made this song if they were guitar instead of keyboards. I think it loses the intensity because those kind of chung, 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 they kind of keyboard it up so that you don't get the full impact of the guitar chords. And to me, that's a little disappointing. I still think the song has a sexy groove. We talked about that groove a little bit earlier. I love the change going into the solo section. I really like that change up. You know, the one I'm talking about, right? Right before that solo section. I think that helps make this song for sure. Yeah, it's a decent tune.
Then we get to the next track, Sentimental Street. And righty, man, what a great chorus. This is something you would be humming all day by mistake. It's one of those things that if you woke up to it, it'd be in your ears all goddamn day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. you know, I'm like Steven in this respect, I'm not a huge ballad guy, but, you know, they knock it out of the park on this one. Kelly's vocals are fantastic. And even this, that start, the dun, dun, dun. And that's like another like movie type thing, like a kind of dramatic beginning like that, how it just kicks in, then boom, then it goes right down. The solo is melodic. You don't get that ripping stuff on here, but it totally fits. I've always liked this one. Another live staple. Although the only thing I hate when Kelly gets out from behind the drums to sing. I don't know why. That just bothers the shit out of me. Other than that, I don't mind the song. I think it is absolutely fantastic.
So, Steven, it was number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here's the 7 songs it couldn't beat on that day. The Power of Love by Huey Lewis was 7. Never Surrender by Corey Hart was 6. Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen was 5. You Give Good Love, Whitney Houston at 4. If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free by Sting at 3. Every Time You Go Away by Paul Young at 2. And Shout by Tears for Fears at 1. Dude, I absolutely love the fucking 80s because those are 7 great songs.
Yeah, it's interesting. With this song, Righty, you know, you nailed it on the head. I don't like when Kelly gets from behind his drums either for some reason.
It fucks the shit out of me.
He does it on 3 tunes, right? Goodbye, Sentimental Street, and Sister Christian, right? Those 3. And
3 times too many.
His drum kit's sideways, so he really doesn't need to, but they want to bring him out as a front man. It's fine. But for some reason, it bothers me, and I don't know why, but I'm with you. You also nailed it on the head by saying this is movie soundtrack worthy. That beginning sounds so grand. It has movie soundtrack written all over it. I'm with you guys. I mean, as ballads go, this is a well-written ballad. It's catchy. The chorus is great. The pre-chorus is good. There's nothing to really hate on about this tune. Now, one of the things I want to point out, because this is the last song on side one of your album, your cassette, whatever. So we've had 5 songs on side one, and pretty much the majority of them are all single rights by Jack Blades, other than Faces, which Kelly Keegi and Fitz got co-writes in. So the whole first side is Jack Blades written on his own, and pretty much there's no guitar on that first side, other than maybe the solo sections and a couple of accents here and there. So we're 5 songs into what I would consider a hard rock band, hard rock, hard pop, whatever, Stainless Steel, as we said in previous episodes. And the guitar is all but neutered and removed. Do you agree with that, Righty? You agree with that assessment?
I do. But like you, you both of us should hate it, but I don't. I absolutely love it. But it's just, they're just such good songs that, you know what I mean? They're well written. You know what I mean? They don't have good songs, good songs.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I'm just.
No, but it's not your typical Night Ranger
album. It's not your typical Night Ranger record. And for guys like us that like the guitar out front, it's disappointing. But as we pointed out in those first 5 songs, the songs are good. Overall, we said favorable things about them. But Sonny, you agree with that assessment, though, overall?
Yeah, I never minded it, though, because there was a lot of this mid-80s that was doing that. So, and because of me coming in at Big Life, we get a little bit of that at the next album, too. So, to me, they just were who they were. When you see them live, it comes off a lot more rocking, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, and those songs are so good that you, like I said, on the other songs, you get the payoff with the solo, so you don't really miss the guitars as much during the song itself because you get that payoff with the solos as well.
Trying to be, I know what you're thinking, 'cause I've been there myself. I've been kicked so many times, I don't know nothing else. Still I noticed your urgency, I recognize the flair that you got from chasing all those East Coast stairs. I've seen it before, it happened time and again. All caught up inside, yet you're caught in a spin. Out on Sentimental Street in the avenues, take a good hard look, there ain't nothing ever new. Out on Sentimental Street in the avenues, will you ever find out? Guess I'm leading up to you. Saw you dancing out in Matawan. You did them same two steps that I taught you back in June. Heard you dying last night at Country Razor's Cafe. Did you get your fill? Did you think you had to pay? Well, I noticed your urgency and recognized the pain, and I'm sure.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, so side B2, whatever you want to call it, next track, or first track on side two, I guess I should say, This Boy Needs to Rock. All right, so righty, here's where I get it. They're trying to write an anthemic song. Maybe they're trying to sell something to Rocky. I don't know. But this chorus is not great. The tonight, tonight, tonight. I'm like, come on, guys. You just wrote Sentimental Street. You just wrote Four in the Morning. You wrote Sister Christian on the last. What is this?
It does feel a little forced. I don't mind it because it's you're back. Well, not back. You're finally getting those guitars right out the back. And I don't mind the tonight, tonight, tonight part, actually. But it does seem a little forced. But I like how the tempo changes for the solo, which is very cool. You get both of the guys tearing it up. So I think they tried to cram what you didn't get on the the first side of the album into this one song to kick off side two.
Yeah, and Steven, I like the pace of the song too, because what it allows for is Brad and Jeff to just go the fuck off on the solos. Like, it was an onslaught when it gets there, and I'm like, okay, I get it. They're trying to bring back rock here, but it, like Righty said, it's a little forced.
Pooney, they could have farted into a mic. I don't give a shit. I got a riff finally. I got a guitar with distortion on it. Jesus Christ, it took me a whole half album to get here, but I got it. This riff, for me, this riff kicks ass, right? I finally got a real fat riff to kick off side two. I'm loving it. It's the first true rocker of this record, in my opinion. Look, I love the pre-chorus, change into the chorus. I like that pre-chorus. Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I don't 100% disagree with you. I think that I can definitely see that. But overall, I don't mind the tonight, tonight, tonight. You know, again, I think the pre-chorus is great and that riff is great. So I'm okay with this song. I'm more than okay with this song. I love it. And this song, let me just say this real quick, is this song makes me happy every time I hear it. Like, even when I heard the, 24 strings and something, the acoustic version,
24 strings and a drummer.
Yeah. 24 strings and a drummer version of this song. I even liked it. I thought it came off well, acoustically as well. So I dig this tune.
I was just going to say that too, because, and they kick off that show with that song also, which is odd, but and it does translate good on 24 strings and a drummer too, which, you may hear that on another podcast in a couple months.
Mm. Okay. So the next track we get is I Will Follow You. And this happens in Night Ranger albums. I notice every once in a while, Kelly plays like a weird time signature with his drums. Sometimes, like, he can't quite follow what he's doing. I'm not a musician, so I don't understand it, but it's not straight, whatever you would call 2/4 time pop song. Sometimes it gets a little weird with that. And this song was a little distracting to me, Righty.
Yeah. You know, and it's weird in that respect, because it's kind of like you get that with Vinny Appice and the Dio stuff. Some of the stuff is like an odd feel to it, and it gives it kind of a little different thing. It's not extremely distracting for me on this one, but I do understand what you're talking about. And this one is kind of takes a little dip for me on this one. The solo is great in this one. And this is a really great song that Toto never wrote. I think this would be a really good Toto song, but not a great Night Ranger song. Like I said, I love the solo in this one, but this one is a little lower in the register for me.
And Steven, for me, this song even ended a weird, it just kind of feels a little bit like filler.
Yeah. So I didn't have a whole lot of notes on this song, because honestly, it was a little weird for me as well. But I will say this. I thought the chorus was really simple, and for some reason, it sort of got stuck in my head. I found myself kind of humming this chorus a few times throughout the day over the course of the last few weeks when I was going through this record many, many times, because I really listened to this record front to back a lot preparing for this episode. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything that's been said by any of you. I kind of agree, but overall, I don't hate the song.
Makes sense. The chorus was simple, and you're a simpleton, and I got it.
Sometimes simple is best, ain't it? I don't like to overthink shit, Poonie.
Oh, don't worry. You can't. Don't worry.
If I do, you'll know it. Steve will come out and do, as will smoke.
You'll fall over dead.
We'll see the headphones go out.
All right. Eighth track on the CD, Interstate Love Affair, which we know that was initially on the Teacher soundtrack. Which I haven't seen that movie in forever. You can't really find that movie anywhere.
That's a great movie.
The song is very movie soundtracky. It's supposed to be. It was on the Teacher soundtrack. But Righty, super memorable chorus, though. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. This track gets moving like right from the start there. Little keyboard accents there at the beginning, right before the guitars kick in. I love the song is paced perfectly. The chorus is like so goddamn catchy. And that's another one that, you know, if you think of first thing in the morning, you bet your ass you're going to be singing it all day long. Right now, it's in my head right now. Once again, great soloing from Jeff and Brad on this one. You can tell this is definitely a soundtrack one because the solo's so short on this one too. It's kind of like an abbreviated what you would hope to get from a Night Ranger song. I like it. And there's not a lot of lyrics in this song. It's mostly just the chorus.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that because the chorus is so catchy. It's an absolute earworm for sure.
Steven, the synth came back heavy.
Boy, did it. Man, sure did. Shoot. I guess I need to live on the memories of this boy, you know, needs to rock. Yeah, here's the weird thing. I want to say that I first heard this song on the Teacher soundtrack. Did it come out on that soundtrack before this record? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So that is the first time I heard it. I liked it from the first time I heard it. To me, it's still a rocker of a song, but yes, the keyboards are very out front. And honestly, I like it after it comes out of the solo, out of that solo break, and it comes back. There's not much to the tune, but for whatever it is, it makes me happy. It's another one that I really like a lot off this record.
Second and last song we get is Night Machine. And yes, this is definitely rocker, Night Ranger. Guess you could have opened the album with this. That would have been closer to the other two album openers. But another memorable chorus, righty?
Yeah, this one's not bad for me either. I like it more guitar-oriented than most of the songs on the album. There's like a dual guitar part, like right before the solo. I think Brad does the original solo. And it's just insane, the sounds that he gets with that guitar. It's crazy, and they're all over this song. And even at the end, there's some crazy Brad doodles and licks and stuff as the song's playing out as well. Good deep track.
So, Steven, I'm guessing a little bit here. I'm making up a story, okay? So, Vince Neil, Tommy Lee show up, and they want to get involved somehow. So, Jack goes, all right, I'm going to have you guys sing back up on Sentimental Street and Goodbye. Then he heard them sing and said, well, that's not going to fucking work. So, why don't you do some gang vocals that nobody needs that we can jam into a fucking song so you can say you were involved? And we get this shit in the middle that we didn't need of Night Machine. Just tell Vince and Tommy to fuck off. Like, I don't understand why you got to jam them in the middle here.
God, if that was the part they were jammed in. So here's my comments on this one. Heavy riff. Overall, I liked the tune. It's definitely filler for me. I absolutely hate, with a capital H, the breakdown after the solo. I don't even understand why they needed it. They should have just come back into it with Who's Gonna Save You This Time part. Super dumb. Those were my exact notes on this song. And it ruins that song for me, to be honest. I just hate that part. It sucks so bad. It sounds like a totally different song, and it makes absolutely no sense knowing the songwriters that these guys are. Like me, I'm not a songwriter or musician, but even I know, why didn't you just come out of that into this? This is dumb.
It adds nothing to the song. It makes it suck, that part.
Yeah. The only thing it adds is you can say you had Vince and Tommy.
Right. For how well written and arranged these rest of these songs are, you have that little slice in there that just is stupid.
What I've deduced from this is that I missed my calling and I should have been the new Desmond Child, because I could have co-wrote this and cut that part out and made it a better song.
Nice. All right. And the last song on the album, you get Goodbye, mid-tempo ballad, great vocal. This song is really written well. The acoustic work, the harmonies, righty, this is written well.
Yeah, this is, you know, another one that I love. And Kelly, please stay behind the drums once again. I love this song. The harmonies in it for the chorus, the solo's absolutely perfect. I like how it slows down. Then you get that crescendo. It builds back in that is absolutely killer. You get the ahs, which I'm a sucker for it at any time. Jeff does the leads at the end, which Carrie Kelly does now live. There is nothing about this song that I don't like. This is a perfectly written song. Absolutely love it. And it gives me that feeling that I just did. I don't know if it's certain harmonies or what, but this song does it for me. And this is one of the few bands that when they bust out a ballad, I don't mind. There's some bands like even Skid Row, like 18 in Life and shit like that. I'm just like, ugh. But like, I don't mind when these guys play this stuff because they're it's just so good.
Yeah, I think the difference with some of the ballads that Night Ranger is doing is you don't have Sebastian wailing on the song and trying to take over the song with his vocal versus the whole band doing what they do and it's a song. And reality is neither Kelly nor Jack could really probably do that anyway, but we don't want him doing that, right?
They don't need to.
And they don't need to. Steven, my thing here was I thought this was written well. But I thought it would be very interesting if the song ended when he whispers goodbye and just the song ends and it leaves everybody wanting more on the next album, right? Don't come back with a epic, bombastic ending. It works. Don't get me wrong. But I think it would have been interesting just to end it at goodbye. And that'd be it.
Just a whisper.
Yeah.
Like Exciter.
That worked too. Absolutely.
I think one of the reasons you don't mind ballads by Night Ranger, righty, is because it's not going from here to here. Like with Skid Row, you can't go, it's hard to go from Big Guns to 18 in Life or I Remember You. That's a big drastic change. But with Night Ranger, especially on this album, you're not going that far, right? The tempo changes and the feel of a song. Yeah, it's a ballad, but it's not a completely slow ballad, as is Sentimental Street. I don't consider a really, really slow ballad. There's some tempo changes there. So, you know, one of my notes on this song was that it's very similar, the framework, not necessarily the sound of the the melody or anything like that, but it's very similar to the way that Midnight Madness ended with Let Him Run. And it's also the only Jeff Watson co-write on this record, the same as Let Him Run on Midnight Madness. So my guess is this is an effort to get Jeff Watson a co-write on the record, for one, same as Let Him Run. And don't get me wrong, both songs are good. Both songs are ballads. Both songs have acoustic guitar, 12-string with Let Him Run, and Goodbye, just straight up acoustic. I don't know. Do you guys see the similarities in all of that and how it sort of parallels, Sonny?
Yeah, I don't know if it's to give Jeff Watson a co-write. Like, I don't know if that matters. I think they kind of like ending with emotion, I guess, right? Instead of a rocker, and it works.
Well, I know it's very important to members of bands to have a co-write or a song on a record. And so I think it is important to get Jeff a co-write or his own song on each album. I think they strive to do that. And like we said before, I mean, this record is basically all Jack Blades. You have a couple of co-writes from Fitz, you have a couple of co-writes from Kelly, and you have a couple of co-writes from Brad. And that's pretty much it. It's all, and you got one, they gave Jeff one co-write on this record. And that kind of stuff is important because it comes down to the publishing on records. And this is where a lot of the money is made by musicians, especially back then, when they were selling a million records. That's a couple points they get on that, and that makes money. But overall, yeah, I think it's a decent tune. I'd be interested to hear, out of the two ballads on this record, Goodbye and Sentimental Street, which is your favorites? Which one do you prefer? It sounds like, Righty, you might prefer Goodbye. You really like that a lot.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And Sentimental Street's no slouch either for me, but I would take Goodbye over it a million times.
Yeah. Pooney, what about you?
Same.
Okay.
All right. I want to get everybody's final thoughts and top two, bottom two. I'll get started. My final thoughts here is, you know, stuff like This Boy Needs to Rock, Night Machine, you know, those are rock songs that continue to give them rock and, I guess, hair metal street cred. The ballads on the albums were big hits, right? Gave them radio cred, thanks to Sister Christian from the prior album being on MTV every 18 and a half minutes. Even when this album came out, Sister Christian was still on MTV. Shit, you get to the late 80s, early 90s, Sister Christian is still on MTV. Like, it just kind of kept going. Overall, for me, Seven Wishes is a great album. My top two were Goodbye and Four in the Morning. My bottom two were I Will Follow You and This Boy Needs to Rock. Righty, final thoughts and top two, bottom two?
All right. I love this album. It's one that I bust out several times a year, whether it's going to be for a podcast or not. It's one that I go to quite a bit. It's one that always hit me from the beginning, even from the cover with the bomber on there. And there's just some really well-written songs on here, and it's performed great. The production is fantastic on it. It's great. It's hard for me to pick a favorite Night Ranger album. Like, out of these first three and maybe even four albums, there's not a lot of crap on any of them. There's a couple duds for me here and there. But my top two, and I've been agonizing over this part of the show like all day long. My top two that I'm going with right now is Seven Wishes and Goodbye for my top two. And my bottom two, we did an episode probably a couple months ago, like late last year, Songs That Ruin a Perfect Album for You. And I Will Follow is one that I picked from this album. So I'm not a huge fan of that song. I don't hate it, but it's kind of a downslide for me on that one. And I'm going to say probably Night Machine for my second bottom one, just because that in the middle, that's just unnecessary and sucks.
Stephen, how about you?
My top two are going to be Boy Needs to Rock. Absolutely love it. And Seven Wishes. I love how they get to that hook in that pre-chorus so quick in that song. It's a great tune. My bottom two is going to be Night Machine for that very reason that Wrighty just said. That song is ruined by that weird ass section. And my second one is going to be I Will Follow. Like I said, I think the simple chorus is catchy, but overall that song is just kind of, I don't know, it's okay.
Final thoughts?
Final thoughts on the record is overall, I think it's a great record. It's a record I should hate. I don't know what they did to neuter all my guitars from a rock band, but it's well-written songs and it works for me. Is it a record I go back to often? Probably not. There's some other records in their catalog that I go back to on the regular, but having crammed this record front to back several times over the last course of 2 weeks, I enjoy it. I enjoy it front to back. So I don't skip a whole bunch of it when I'm listening to it. So yeah, it's all right.
Hey, Hollywood, you know what time it is. Let's connect it to KISS.
You wanted the best, but you got the best. The hottest band in the world, KISS!
For the KISS connection, it's the middle of 85. KISS is done with the Analyze tour. They haven't quite started the recording sessions for the next album, namely Asylum. Meanwhile, back at the local insane asylum. Get it? See what I did there? Anyways, since KISS has moved on with Bruce and Vinny's trying to get his own thing started, he gets connected with Chrysalis Records, where bands go to die. According to some of the KISS-tory out there, 6 of the 10 songs released on the debut Vinnie Vincent Invasion album were demoed in 84 to possibly end up on the next KISS album if Vinnie had continued with them, which is namely Animalize. There's been rumors on the interwebs that Paul may have demoed a lead vocal to the song We're Gonna Spin For You. I've never heard the demo. I'm not even sure it exists. But I can kind of hear Paul doing this song. So try it for yourself. Imagine Paul Stanley singing lead vocals on Shoot You Full of Love.
I have a feeling that with Mork coming up and Hell in the Cell, which has already happened, of course, because we're in the end of March, you got Shot Full of Love.
Love!
I like this tune. I've always liked this song. I've heard some demo versions of this song, too. Didn't you guys share demo versions of this tune?
Yeah, but it wasn't Paul singing, so I don't know if that exists. Wrighty, have you heard that?
Not that I could think of. I think if I had, I would have remembered it. But I could absolutely visualize, you know, audibly him singing that for sure, because it's in that register, especially back in that time frame. He could get up there as well. I think it would be cool to hear that and, you know, see that. And I like that whole album. It's like so over the top that I like it. I don't mind the crazy ass soloing and stuff like that. And I like the song. It's good.
Both Vinnie Vincent Invasion albums I like.
I do too.
I can separate the art from the artist most of the time. I can't do it all the time, but so I can still listen to them and be fine with listening to them. I just don't like it when artists go back and Mark Slaughter didn't do what I wanted him to do, and Robert wasn't right. I want to re-record this whole thing. And like, would I like to personally hear Skid Row go re-record the first album with Eric Grunwald? Yes, I would like to hear Eric sing those songs. But I don't think it's the right thing to do because Sebastian's stuck in my head singing all those songs.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. Just do it as a remix thingy or something, but don't try to replace the original. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
And everything is revisionist history anymore anyways. You know, everyone's always going back and saying, you know, we should have done, you know what, but you didn't. Leave it sit where it is. And if you want to do something, put out a live album and record it with the guy that you think is the greatest thing since sliced bread, colored condoms, and, you know, canned soda. Like, do it that way. You know, you don't need to go in and re-record everything. You know, just let it be where it is. And if one thing, for sure, Vinny, put it the fuck out on streaming so people can enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's it. That's the end of our March album series with Night Ranger's Seven Wishes. Thank you to our guest, Steve Wright from the Potter and Hell podcast. We encourage you guys to go over there and check out the Potter and Hell podcast. And we want to know from the listeners the all important question. If you were handed seven wishes, would you turn your back for more? That's the acting question. Let us know what your seven wishes are or whether you would turn your back for more.
Or who your seven wishes would be.
Yeah. As Booney and Roddy have pointed out, who are your seven wishes? Next month, as we get into April's records, we're going to be talking all about our great big life with the Night Ranger series. That's the next record up. Roddy, do you have anything to add before we get up on out of here?
Yeah, just thanks, guys, for having me on again. Always a pleasure coming on here, talking, you know, whatever, Night Ranger this time. And I think Crocus we did last year. And I like these episodes. I look forward to it at the end of every month, checking out, you know, I obviously know what album's coming next, but I always like to see who you guys are going to have on doing certain albums and stuff. I really enjoy these. And thanks for having me. And I'm sure we had an awesome fucking time on Mork.
I'm sure we did. We always manage to. Mr. Pooney, do you have anything to add before we get up on out of here?
Every time I hear the word crocus now, it's stayed awake all night, stayed awake all night, stayed awake all night, stayed awake all night. That's all I think of now because of that goddamn album. No, I have nothing else to add. Stayed awake all night, stayed awake all night, stayed awake all night. How do you listen to that shit?
Because it's good.
There you go. That's all you need to know. Go out there and get your seven wishes. Until next week, see ya.
Later.
That's the show. So let's shuffle, rattle, and roll us out of here. Until next week. Always remember, peace, love, and rock and roll.
You can sing along with me if you want.
Saw you walking out on Sentimental Street. What you doing out there? Who you trying to be? I know what you're thinking, cause I've been there myself. I've been kicked so many times, I don't know nothing else. Still I notice, judge and see, and recognize the fear that you got from chasing on those East Coast sails. And I've seen it before, and happened time and again. I'm caught up inside, but you're calling us man.
I'm on Sentimental Street in the avenues.
Take a good hard look, there ain't nothing ever new.
I'm on Sentimental Street in the avenues.
them same two steps that I taught you back in June. But you dying last night at Contarenza Cafe. Did you get your bill? Did you think you had to pay? Still I know it's good to me and recognize the pain. And I'm sure it's a thing to feel again. And I wish I could.
You can help out the podcast greatly by leaving us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Spotify. The links are in the show notes, or just drop us a line at our email, growinguprock@gmail.com. Growing Up Rock is a proud member of the Pantheon Network. Pantheon is the place for music lovers. Check us out, along with many other great music podcasts, on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.